Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated, visit myspecialmortgage.com. That's myspecialmortgage.com.
104.3 The Fan presents Big Al and D-Mac with a big story of the day.
Well, here, turn down the music for a second, Big Sexy. Here, just turn it all the way off. Listen, everybody. Can we hear that? Does everybody hear that? So I was listening to Cecil Instinct this morning, and the fire alarm went off in the building right around, I don't know, 8 o'clock or so, Chad, and the fire alarm just seriously started going off about 30 seconds ago. So there's something going on in this building today, and I'm not exactly sure what's happening. But that means the fire alarm was triggered, you know, this morning, and it's going off now.
Right.
So I don't want to amp up to anything because we probably got to go, right, Big Sexy?
We're double checking to make sure it's not legit.
Yeah. So this happened during the morning show. So before we get into anything, I don't even want to start down a path on something we can't really get into. Because what we did this morning is we just went to, like, syndicated ESPN radio.
Well, and, let me tell my story then.
Oh, okay. You got a fire alarm story?
No, no fire alarm story.
All right. What's your story?
Kind of my first car accident with another car today.
What?
Airbags, whoa, the whole shebang-a-bang.
What?
Yeah, man.
Well, that's not a story I want to just breeze in and out of. What happened?
You know, the particulars are not important.
Yeah, they are. They're incredibly important.
To the insurance company.
Are you okay?
I'm a little shaken. Yeah.
Dude.
That was this morning, and so now, gosh. 5-6 hours later, still a little shaken, still a little slightly shook up.
What road were you on? What type of road
were you on? I was in Highlands Ranch, on Highlands Ranch Parkway and Broadway.
Pretty fast road there. I'm very familiar with it. You could be going 50-60 miles an hour there.
We were both coming from red lights, so it wasn't too bad.
T-bone head on?
T-bone-ish.
Your fault or his or her fault?
Again, we don't need to get into the particulars.
What part of your car was hit?
Again, we don't need to get...
Because you just tell me what part of your car was hit, and I know whose fault it was.
Right.
Dude, I'm so sorry. And your airbag went off.
Both. Front airbag
did
and...
Did you have anybody in the car with you?
No, and neither did the other person. Both of us are seemingly fine.
Okay.
You know, the fire department swung by, gave us a quick triage thing, but yeah.
Cars ruined, though. Both cars ruined?
Her car's probably not ruined.
It's a woman.
Mine's
okay,
not
good.
So good.
Okay. Sorry.
You know,
are you driving the Audi still?
I was driving the Audi A5. Very grateful for
it's
front
incredible.
Airbag. Then yep. The side curtain airbag was huge from stopping my head hitting that window.
One of the safest cars in the world,
man,
for sure.
I'm very, very, very lucky. I'm so thankful that all we got is some, you know, a couple of bumps and bruises and some damaged cars.
Yeah.
This obviously could have been so much worse. So
really? So it was enough of a rapid pace of speed that if you didn't have the right type of vehicle, something bad could have happened.
Cars coming from opposite directions, never good.
Cars turning or?
One car turning, yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, but I got
it. Dude, I'm so sorry.
The bruise on my hand from the airbag, on one hand, you're like, my hand hurts.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, because the airbag was protecting my face.
Yeah.
So my hand got bruised up. Scrapes and, you know, bumps and bruises. It was bleeding on my legs from hitting the lower part underneath the steering wheel.
How far in advance of the accident did you see it happening?
Oh, it was instantaneous.
Just like that, huh?
Just like that.
Like time didn't slow down a little bit?
No. A blink of an eye, literally, there's nothing you can do but kind of brace.
Was she texting? Or on her phone?
Didn't appear to be. No, she was a school teacher. Very nice lady. Very, very nice.
Sunny day.
Neither one of us was expecting that to interfere with our day. But
wow, Chad, I'm so sorry.
You know, the perspective from that kind of thing is, you know, when you're at a light, when you're driving your car, just, you know, slow down. Pay attention. Be present.
Yeah.
You know, we've all got a list of 20 things in our head.
Yep.
And sometimes driving at that moment when you're driving is not in your top 10 list in your head.
Yep.
It should be.
Yep, no doubt about it. No doubt about it.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
You know, I talk to my kids and I say, and they say, oh, Dad, I'm fine. I go, okay, fine, but what about the other guy? How do you know you know, the risk that you may run is not yours, and it may be somebody else's fault. So, but of course, they're teenagers, so they, you know, they drive for a couple days, and they think they, you know, are Mario Andretti, right?
Well, teenagers are, they're bulletproof in their own heads.
But we see my wife with the Facebook. I love her. She's the best. But goodness gracious, Chad. It's tough when you're in the car and you see the other person distracted as they're driving. I mean, it's like, I'll drive, you know, pull over, you know, if that's really that important, you know, give me a second.
Right.
I'm glad you're okay. Car's in bad shape though, huh?
Most likely we'll be needing a new vehicle.
Did you go to the hospital?
No.
Mm-hmm. How is the sound?
Loud.
Sickening.
When I hit my head, whatever I hit my head on, I still haven't figured that out. That hurt.
What'd you hit your head on?
I'm not sure. If it was the windshield or the roof of the car, man, or what.
Dude. What part of your head did you hit?
Just right past the hairline there.
Was the windshield busted out?
No. Mm-mm.
Was it, well, you're not telling me, so. I mean, I'm assuming it was the left side of your car, I guess. Am I right on that?
Driver's side.
Yeah. All right, because you're just describing, you know, yourself. Oh, man. Well, I'm sorry to hear that. First accident ever, huh?
I spun out once in Seattle on a exit off a freeway. Other than that, no, first one, man.
Wow.
First
fender benders? Nothing?
No.
Golly, really?
It's not my thing.
I mean, I had a deer jump out at me.
Okay, yes. I did have a deer in Pittsburgh.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay.
Which
well,
destroyed a different Audi of mine.
Well, that's an accident.
First accident with another driver, another car.
Okay.
Yes.
Fair enough.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I got in two of those in the first 6 months of having my driver's license.
Oh, man.
Ruined my dad's Audi 2000 and my mom's station wagon. Hit by drunk drivers both times. Yep.
Yeah.
The irony was one of the drunk drivers that hit me, it was not his fault. It was my fault. But he was drunk.
So you got...
I made a bad, you know, I turned left at night when I shouldn't have turned left. I was a young driver.
Right.
I just followed my buddy. I had a girl in the car. I was trying to impress her and drive my dad's Audi, you know, and I'm 17 years old or whatever. And he makes a left and now my phone. There's a lot going on here, Big Sexy, by the way. We got alarm bells. My phone's going off for some reason on a number I don't know. What are we doing here, by the way? I'm stopping my story because this is ridiculous.
Do we know?
I mean, I definitely cannot keep doing the show with
the
alarm going off.
We're doing a radio show right now.
Are we still safe?
Yeah, but dude, this is ridiculous.
I can't control the fire alarm.
Yeah, no kidding.
But are we safe?
Right.
Is there actual fire or something to be concerned about?
As far as I'm aware, no.
Okay.
Can people hear the alarm going off, or maybe they can't?
Yes, they can. According to the text line, they can hear it.
So we're just supposed to do a show with the beep, beep, beep going off? Really?
Would you like to go to syndicated radio and go stand out in the parking lot?
Well, I don't know, man. I mean, this is kind of ridiculous, isn't it? I mean, we don't have to. You know what I'll do? I'll just open the phones because there's no way I can just focus on doing a show. So just call us and we'll answer phone calls about until we get told to leave the building. I mean, I got a ton of stuff to talk about today.
Right.
But I can't sink my teeth into anything. Yeah, 303-713-1043. I'll be like Irvin Joe. Ask us about anything.
I'm a professional.
Yeah, hot takes. Hot take time. Dude, I'm sorry I can't be more professional with the fire alarms going off. I'm so sorry you got in a car accident. And now this is happening. You're not good to be around today.
That's not been my day,
you
man.
You know, usually being around Chad Brown is a positive moment.
Oh,
but,
yeah. Not right now.
I'm feeling like there's a little bit of...
dark cloud falling over me.
A tad.
Get something done with that beeping in the background.
No kidding.
Are those smoke alarms?
Yes. Yeah, but we haven't officially been... where's Armin, by the way?
What's with the beeping on air?
Where are the bosses?
Someone please check the fire alarm in the background.
All right, we're starting to get some calls.
All right. What we got? Who's calling in?
I don't know. I could just pick it up myself and not screen them, but... hey, you. I don't even know what your name is. Who's this?
Peter.
Hey, Peter.
Hey, Peter.
What you got?
You know, the one thing I want to know is, does the Broncos' offensive line get to be a bunch of maulers this year? Because I can't see, with all the improvement, purported improvement in the skill positions, that without a mauling offensive line, they're going to go anywhere any different than they have in the past 3 years.
Is Garrett Bowles a mauler, Chad?
Improvement from what year one and year two should be expected. I think that's...
Is Ron Lear... Just go quickly here. We got fire alarms going on.
All right. It should be expected.
Yes or no?
Valdir, he can be a mauler.
All right. I'll go through him. O'Leary, but, is he a mauler?
O'Leary's a mauler. Garrett Bowles not a mauler.
Okay. Is Paradis a mauler?
Kind of.
Is... who's going to be playing right guard?
Not a mauler.
Who is going to be playing right? Is it Billy Turner? Is it Max Garcia? Is it Connor McGovern? I don't know. Who is it?
The fact that you're unsettled, how could it possibly be?
It's a little unsettled over there, don't you think?
Yeah. And then Valdir, we haven't seen him go this offseason.
We have no idea.
He can be a mauler. He's got the size, but you got to be healthy. You got to be on the field.
Yeah, don't know, Peter. It looks like a pretty average offensive line to me right now, to be quite honest with you. So, hope that helped. My buddy Mark Melick. I thought that was a sound effect for Chad's car accident. No, it's just the loose. Right. Probably not funny. And then you hear the beeps. I love that.
That's what I'm talking about, baby.
Let me tell you, there's zero we can do about the sound. Like, we cannot turn the sound off. And I can't do the show without turning the microphones on.
A bit dilly of a dilly.
Right?
Bit of a rough spot here.
You know, the only thing we could do is play music while we talk and you wouldn't hear the alarm.
But then you can't do a good show with music.
I could talk up some records. Let's go to Mike. He's got a fire alarm take.
Hey, Mike.
Mike, what's happening?
How much? How are you guys?
Super.
Yeah, loving it.
Hey, I work in the fire department. I'm just going to give you guys some basic training. When the fire alarm goes off, you should evacuate.
Thank you, Mike. You know, we practice this. We all get in a line. We hold a rope so none of us get lost. And we usually leave down the stairs. We don't take the elevator. Hot take by Mike, the fire engine. Fireman. He rides a fire engine. He's in a calendar. Anthony, you're on the fan.
What's up, Big Tone?
How you doing today?
Super. See, when you hear music, you can't hear the fire alarm. If we were just to play. By the way, yeah. I know why we're here. Why is Brantley and Johnny just sitting around doing nothing? Well, why do we have other people here, Big Sexy? And where is Raj and Armin, our bosses, in this mix? Are other people... wait, hold on. I got to look outside. Okay. Hold on a second. I'm looking outside. Yeah, everybody's standing outside.
Should we?
Yeah, the whole office staff is outside. I can see him right now. Why are we here? Look, there's a dude under a tree. He's smoking. There's a... Wow, everybody's smoking. Every single person outside is actually smoking.
They're the guys that pulled the alarm. They wanted a smoke break.
What you got, Anthony?
Pass on grass.
Yeah, what do you got?
Hey, so, D-Mac, during the game last night after Story hit his home run and then we got the his next at-bat with the Mariners pitcher.
Yeah.
Tell me that wasn't a little, hey, I still remember what happened for our sweep.
Oh, do you think so? Maybe.
I do.
It was scary, man. Like, when you...
No.
Nah, I don't know, dude. His reaction, the pitcher's reaction, I forget what his name was, because they did a close-up of his reaction. Diaz.
I saw that.
That's not a reaction. I don't think so. I don't think so, no.
No, it was just one of those that had, just like, oh, wait a second.
His expression was like, oh, that got away from me reaction. It wasn't like, there you go, dude.
Yeah.
It wasn't like that. Although, hey, sharp on you to point it out that you know. Wait, who did Story hit the walk-off against? It wasn't off him, was it?
No, but, you know, being Seattle, that was just kind of, oh, wait a second. Maybe he's sticking up for the rest of the team.
That's such a weird. Nah, dude, you're in the All-Star game, man. You got your friends, your family, everybody's watching. You don't have time for that sort of silliness.
But, hey, one more quick thing. Yeah. Drove by Broncos, work over that area, events, ramps. Sorry, you're probably not supposed to say that, but a lot of tents going up around Dove Valley or Pat Bowlen Fieldhouse. Getting excited.
All right, very cool. So was Von Miller. He got a speeding ticket. Did you hear that story?
No.
Yeah, he got caught going like 71 in a 40 on Broncos Parkway. He was running a little bit late for an OTA meeting. Like, anybody cares about those? Like, I can't even believe they have meetings at 8 a.m. for OTAs, but apparently they do.
Didn't you hear about Von's top 100? Forbes?
What about it?
Top 100 highest paid celebrities.
Oh, what number is Von?
97.
Yeah, he's a blip on the radar.
Yeah, Floyd Mayweather's like 285. 285 million.
Oh, yeah. Phil Mickelson's probably in the top 10. He usually is up. Von does great. He's just... Oh, is it over? Wow, looks like we got through the rain. I feel bad. I told everybody to call. Let me get through the calls then real quick, because I feel a little guilty here. We told people to call because I was completely distracted. And
sorry about that.
Now it's done. Yeah, Scott, you're on the fan. What's up, Scott?
Yes, sir. I'm glad you didn't get hurt in the wreck. That's a plus.
Thank you. Thank you.
Leather seats or cloth?
Mm. Fabric seats. Suede.
Leather?
Fabric.
Fabric?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because the leather are tougher to get the cone out of the driver's seat.
Mm. Yeah, he's like you messed yourself because you were
No. Quite the reverse. Left a cone.
Cone. I don't know.
I'm really glad you didn't get dinged up. You probably hit your head on either the visor or the mirror.
Can somebody start the fire alarm again? What do you got, Scott?
Well, that was it.
All right, appreciate it. Whew, jeez.
Now that's showmanship.
Yeah. Let's go to Justin. We'll just clean up these calls. Hey, everybody hopes the best for you, Chad. That's the important part. Justin, you're on the fan. Hi, Justin.
Hey, man. Over-under on Vance making it 8 games.
I'll take the under.
Under?
Yeah, I'll say even at 3-3, I think he gets canned.
Whoa, Chad. All right.
Yep, thanks. Chad?
I'll go over.
Chad will go over? Yep. Why?
Go Buffs.
Okay. Let's go to Jimmy. What's happening,
hey,
Jimmy?
T-Mac. What's T-Mac, up? T-Mac, Chad, want to know your honest outlook for the Denver Broncos special teams this year with a new coordinator and Cody Latimer gone, and some of these rookies have to step up.
Thank you for the call. Much better. This O'Shanahan, no, what's this guy's name? Something Irish. The special teams dude. McMahon. Told you. Told you it was something Irish. Tom McMahon. Yeah, much better vibe on this guy than Moron Olivo. And a better idea of what they have to do. Much better idea of how they have to do it. You're not going to see the chicken with his head cut off, Isaiah McKenzie back there screwing things up. I mean, inevitably it'll be better. So I don't think special teams is going to cost the Broncos any games, nor do I think they're going to win any, aside from hopefully McManus just being more consistent as a kicker. And the punting situation, he's better. You know, the king is back. The king is he's better. Not a lot better than Riley Dixon, but he's better.
It'll be more fun, no doubt about that.
Yeah.
I think they've improved the back part of the roster enough to where special teams will be better overall, because that's who populates your special teams, not your stars. That back half the roster, those roster spot, 40 through 53 are the guys who dominate on special teams. Those guys will be better this year, therefore your special teams will be better.
And you're looking for a Cody Latimer who could kind of, was really strong as a special teams player, as was David Bruton, as was Kayvon Webster. You know, those jobs inevitably go to really good athletes who just are kind of weirdly outside of the cornerback, wide receiver, primary group. They're just right outside. And those guys aren't all that hard to find. So I'm not saying they fall off trees, but, I just listed off three guys that, if Cody Latimer could do it and David Bruton could do it and Kayvon Webster can do it, there's other guys that can fill that role. I'm not sure who that's going to be, but, you just have to have a really good athlete who's got sort of a intense little mentality. And usually you got plenty of those guys on the team.
I'm seeing Philip Lindsay playing a role on special teams if he makes this roster.
As what?
he could be a coverage guy. With the new rules to kickoff, essentially eliminating the big guys on the kickoff return team.
That's interesting.
There's more of a need for smaller, quicker guys on the kickoff team.
You think he can tackle?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. It's a pretty small dude. But
he plays big.
Yeah. So he can hit guys, huh?
Yeah.
I wouldn't hold my breath on Philip Lindsay, but that would be a nice surprise if that was the case on coverage.
Given the passion for football, the intensity for the game, the love of the game.
Yeah. Other than that, he's a kickoff return guy. He's not a punt return guy, and I don't think he's a punt return guy. Ugh, everybody will say how a great punt return. It's, again, the small guy. I'm not into it. I'm not into small guys taking punts back. I don't care how dynamic you are. You want to return kickoffs? Fine. You do that all day. Really?
Here we go again.
Seriously.
Pretty much all punt returners are...
What? Are what?
Small.
Hey! Just stay smoking out there. It's going off again. No, you can stay out there. It started... A smoker's got to be pumped. Smokers are fired up today. You mean we're going to get two smoke breaks within a half hour? I mean, are you kidding me? What's going on in this building? By the way, I know they were fixing the hot... And now it's done. They're fixing the hot water heater for like our coffee machine today.
Text line thinks we need to go by the rest of the afternoon. 104.3, the fire alarm.
I'll take you. All right, here we go. Man, this is like the Urban Joe Show. You just never know what the calls are going to be about. Man, pick a card. What do you got, Pat?
Howdy, man.
Hey,
hey Pat.
G-Mac, I defer to you in all matters that have to do with baseball observation. But all right. The way I'm a geezer, so the way I'm probably your dad's age. The way I look at baseball is I take it in 25-game chunks.
Okay.
And I think those are that's a reasonable representation of what a team might be. Do you have a feeling on this? Because I don't.
Pat, I respect what you're doing, but I think 25 is a little too much. I take it in 10-game chunks. And really, so I'll take it on 10-game chunks, and then I'll also look at series. Like, how are we doing in a series against a team? So to break it down even further. So I think if you make it small, like, let's win every series that we play. If you do that, you're going to be in great shape. And if you can at least come up...
That was the theory, and actually worked out pretty well when we went to the World Series back in...
Well, that's right. And try to win...
They won every series down the stretch.
Right, and try to win as many close games as humanly possible, because I think games that go lopsided one way or the other... that's just baseball. That's the way it goes. But I think close games are manager decisions and clutch performances, and they mean a lot more. So I'm encouraged by the Rockies, and 25 games is a lot, though. That's like a full month. You know, that's a little too much to just stop and say, oh, let's see how they do this month. I think 10 games is a more reasonable way to look at things.
One thing, one thing I just recoil at a little bit is when commentators, whatever, on TV say, well, this is a must series. And
yeah, well, yeah, right.
And then they lose 2 out of 3, and then
right.
They win 3 out of 4 in the other.
Right. Nobody knows what they're talking about. It's stunning how stupid people are who are broadcasting the games, Pat. And there's no, like, a must-win, you know, there's no must-win series. There's, you know, what does that mean, must-win? Right, well, we got into this. Like, there's oh, it's a must-win football game. And I said, well, it's not must. You're not eliminated. No, it's a must-win game. And I'm like, okay, fine. So why don't we say it's a must-win game? I'm just going to agree with your stupidity. And then I'll say this is a critical game then. So I'll just make up a different. So I would say the same in baseball. It's not a must-win series, but you definitely have, like, critical series. You know, series that are really
Where do you put this Arizona series here?
Critical. Yeah. It's within your division. It's critical.
Mental too. There's a mental component starting now.
All right. Thank you, Pat. I'm a mental component because the fire alarm's going off every 5 seconds. By the way, I have 3 ways to improve the All-Star game, because the All-Star game's already really good. I got 3 ways to make it better. You want to hear them? Are you just unbelievably... Did you watch the game at all? Just be honest.
Yes.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
Did you watch it live or did you watch it on DVR this morning before you're about to smash your head into your roof?
No, I watched it live.
How much of the game did you watch live? Be honest.
2.5 innings.
Okay.
I was going to circle back today, but the car accident destroyed my DVR time.
Which 2.5 innings did you watch?
4, 5,
in the
six.
Middle of the game. Yeah. Nothing was going on.
Yeah.
Not the last 3 innings that were unbelievably exciting.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
I figured I'd circle back to it today because, you know,
no, I got you.
The miracle of the DVR.
Right, right, right.
Next thing you know, you're on the side of the road assessing your injuries.
Right. Did Frank Azar hear about this accident? Or, I mean, have you...
No, I haven't contacted Frank Azar.
You have reached out?
Or the Bulldog or any of those other... You know, there's that guy in every single city. Did you know that?
Oh, yeah.
There's the strong arm, there's the Bulldog.
There's the strong arm, there's the Better Call Paul, Raul, Saul.
There's all of them.
You know, there's somebody everywhere for you.
Every single city I go to.
Every single city, there's somebody that's chasing that ambulance. And people are getting divorced all over the place, too.
Right.
You know, certain things happen all over the place. We got lawyers there for you.
Appreciate that.
Noble profession. Are you hurt?
Dinged up.
You may get a call during the commercial break.
Do you know what a bomb is?
I'm going to give you the 3 simple steps to improve an already good all-star game. I'll give that to you next with the big 3.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage Special Circumstance Lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web, 303-790-2222. The phone number, SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 1200716.
It's Big Al and D-Mac with the Big 3, presented by Sam's Number 3 Diner and Bar.
All right, All-Star Game last night. Chad, let me give you my 3 suggestions.
Please
on
do.
How to take what already is the best thing going and make it even a little bit better. And I do like Keith Olbermann's concept of making it, you know, basically 3 3-inning games. Team 1 plays Team 2, Team 3 plays 4. The winner of 1 and 2, the winner of 3 and 4 play 3 innings and go from there. But with that being said, that's probably never going to happen. Here's a couple things that I think could make the All-Star game a little bit better and could happen. 1, bring in 5 minor league pitchers as emergency pitchers in case the game goes to extra innings. 5 should be fine because you can throw those guys more or less as much as you want. I mean, that more or less 5 guys could cover another 10 innings if you had to. If you did that, then everybody would understand you're facing an emergency pitcher. And it would allow the manager to pitch all the legitimate all-stars, you know, because he has to hold back on a few all-stars just in case, the pitchers that is, just in case something goofy happens, right? Well, this way he could pitch everybody and you could get everybody into the game that the fans want to see. And if you do go to extra innings, you've got emergency minor leaguers. You can make a big deal about how they deserve this honor, you know, future prospects, blah, blah, blah. Or maybe they're even old guys, you know, that are done with their time. You know, just find 5 guys.
Why wouldn't you just get more major league pitchers?
Well, but then they wouldn't play. And the concept is the fans want to see their guys play. Everybody does. If you've got a guy from Minnesota, if you're a Twins fan, you want to see him. It was definitely fun to watch the Rockies players play.
Right.
What's not fun is if your guy's an all-star and he doesn't play at all. Let me get through my ideas quick. So that's 1. 2, start the 10th inning with a runner on second and no outs. This should be a no-brainer. The California tiebreaker, we talked about it before. They use it in the World Baseball Classic. It just would speed things along. In fact, I think they should just do it in regular games, just like the NHL modifies overtime and goes 3-on-3 and then does shootouts to get a definitive winner, and they don't play forever and ever, but they change things in the playoffs. So I would be a fan of just doing it one way during the regular season, and then the playoffs for baseball, erase it, and just, you know, there's got to be better ways to just get through things. But here's my big idea. That idea is going to be met with resistance. But here's one that should be a slam dunk. Allow each team in the 8th or 9th inning to reinsert one of the players they've taken out of the game. How great would it have been last night in a, you know, the National League's down 2 runs They get a guy on base, and then you can put Bryce Harper back in the game to take one more at bat. How cool would it have been to see Aaron Judge in a tie game in overtime, in extra innings rather, come up to bat who's already done? How cool would that moment be? And by the way, this is another thing that does exist in baseball, at the high school level at least, where you can substitute one player for another player and he can go back in. You can go back and forth. That is allowed at certain levels of baseball. So those are my ideas. What do you think?
I'll go with the last one first. I think to do you want to limit it just to hometown guys, a hometown reinsertion clause. That makes sense.
Maybe.
Or maybe a limited, you get two of these per game. I'm down for that. You don't want to destroy the structure of the game. You still want to keep it pretty similar to
the
regular season
of
baseball.
A hometown reinsertion is kind of fun. Want to limit it to simply like that, you'd have to be able to do it for the other team too, though. You'd have to, they could designate.
Right.
Who's you know, guy? They could designate a guy. How about that? You can designate a reinsertion player. And most managers obviously would reinsert the home guy, and somebody else would reinsert the Stanton or Judge or that sort of thing. That could be a big deal. Like, you're our reinsertion guy.
Yeah.
Don't forget, Bryce Harper could come back into this game. Don't you think that would keep the TV audience around a little bit longer?
Yeah, definitely. I think that's a fantastic way to, again, add a layer of intrigue to what's
Don't you think every fan, so the TV crowd would love it.
Yeah.
Every fan in the stadium would love it.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't really see the player hating it all that much. I mean, I've been sitting around doing nothing for like 2 hours. Now I get to take one more at bat?
Yeah, I like that.
And bongos.
Three!
Jarrell Casey of the Tennessee Titans doesn't plan to bend the NFL new anthem policy. He intends to protest social injustice and police brutality the same way he did in the 2017 season.
What'd he do?
Essentially raise one fist.
Not take a knee, raise one fist. Okay.
Terrell's a good guy, smart guy. Coached him up when I was with the Tennessee Titans. One of the better interior defensive pass rushers in the league. Separate from that, I think he's a very awesome guy.
Wow. Will the league find his team for him raising his fist?
Yes. He says he'll pay the fine. He's fine with the fine.
But he doesn't get to pay the fine. The team has to pay the fine. He doesn't have a choice in that.
But he can...
He can metaphorically pay the fine. He can symbolically say he's going to pay the fine. But no, he won't be able to pay the fine. It won't be allowed.
Right.
Unless it's policy by the Titans. Unless he could write a check to the owner, I suppose.
Right. There's lots of ways that could be done.
I guess. They would never take it, though. We'll see if he does it. And we'll see if the league, I forget the language about, you know.
He sounds pretty adamant in this case.
So that's as bad as taking a knee, throwing your fist up in the air?
But the policy is clear. Either you're...
It says stand on the field. And then it says something about, you know...
Locker room.
Yeah,
blah,
yeah.
Blah,
but what is a protest?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is a protest?
Right.
What behavior is not allowed?
We're going to find out.
Like, what if I stood on the field and I turned my back to the flag?
I think that would be considered a protest.
What if I put my hands over my eyes?
That would be considered a protest.
What if I put my fist up and down like, yeah!
Like a choo-choo train?
Like a choo-choo train. Like, America! Like,
nope.
Like this.
That's going to be...
That's a protest?
That's going to be beyond a protest. Folks are going to see that as disrespectful.
What if I just kind of did like a little
pop-lock and wave? Yes.
You know, little...
Definitely disrespectful.
All right. Who knows? Bongos.
Three!
All right, we're a little out of time here, but that was fun. I guess. We'll see what he does. My guess is he won't.
My guess is he will.
Okay. We'll see. Fixing to find out. All right.
We're fixing to find
out. I got to go through this Josh Hader, the Brewers pitcher that has the world's worst. He got lit up in the All-Star game yesterday. But boy, he was all over social media with nasty words. And he's being, he got in trouble for it. We'll tell you what some of his tweets were. And... This is a get-off-my-lawn moment that I'm kind of trying not to be that guy. Details next.
It's The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
All right, so Brewers pitcher, all-star, Josh Hader will be required to take sensitivity training and participate in the league's diversity and inclusion initiatives after tweets of his past emerged during the game. Well, that's interesting. Machado was being interviewed about, you know, not being on the Orioles anymore during the game. Charlie Blackmon was being interviewed during the game playing center field. And Josh Hader was being revealed as a insensitive person.
A little bit more than insensitive.
Well, when he sent these tweets out, Chad, he was 17 years old.
Yep.
And the tweets, at least to me, seem to be that he's quoting music lyrics in the beginning when he's talking horribly about women. And then he's talking to a pal and he's calling himself the N-word.
Right.
A couple of different times. Now, I'm not making excuses for it necessarily, but I'm trying to keep an open mind in terms of kids these days. So I have a policy with my son that as soon as I hear an N-word, the music goes off. And I'm not too fond of hearing the F-word dropped a million different times, nor am I interested in hearing derogatory things about, you know, women over and over and over again. So I'm a constant struggle with my own son listening to, you know, the music he wants to listen to. And it's funny because, you know, I'd say, why don't we just listen to KS107.5, which used to be owned by us, used to be in our same building, because essentially they have more or less all the songs he listens to, but they don't contain any of that type of language.
Right.
And he laughs at it. Like, he'll put the station on, and he'll be like, oh, my God, Dad, that's supposed to be there, that's supposed to be there, that's supposed to be there. I'm like, yeah, but it's not. So I can drive around with you in the car, and I don't know what's supposed to be where, so I'm more or less okay with it. The proliferation of the N-word, Chad, in the past few years to me has been mind-boggling. I mean, it is all over the place. And in the culture of young people, where the N-word fits may be different than where it fits with us. It's certainly different than where it fits with me. There's no doubt about that.
Just so we're clear, we're talking about today's society. These tweets came out in 2010 and 2011.
Yeah, I'd include that in this more or less this same generation when music and society was sort of, you know, churning out things that exist now. When was Drake's first album?
What's that got to do with the price of tea in China?
Have you ever heard a Drake record?
Yeah.
An unedited Drake record?
Yeah.
You a big fan of it?
I've been listening to...
Well, I'm sorry. What year was the first Drake record? 06. Okay. Before this particular incident, right?
What was the band that Ice Cube was in?
NWA.
Okay. So this well precedes Drake.
I understand, but I'm relating this to today's culture. And I think a 17-year-old, you know what, in 2010 isn't all that different than a 17-year-old in 2018. I think the culture was similar enough. So I'm not trying to make excuses for this kid, but I'm not trying to be as judgmental as I probably would have been before. I certainly would be way more judgmental if I didn't have teenage kids myself and I hear what they listen to and what's going on.
Okay. My turn?
When I heard Drake for the first time, like unedited Drake, mm-hmm. I was like, wow. Jaw-dropping, like, that's, like, okay, and now I sound like the old guy sitting on his front porch, but it was stunning to me.
Mm-hmm.
And
get off my lawn!
I point out Drake because he's the number one guy in the world.
Mm-hmm.
From everything everybody tells me.
Okay.
Okay, your turn.
All right, I'm with you. When he's using the N-word in these tweets, he seems to be using it in a very hip-hop slang, including myself in that kind of thing, not necessarily using the N-word to make a derogatory statement about someone of color.
Right.
So I'm with you on that. References to the homophobic references and sexist comments at 16, 17, this is how these kids talk. So I'm with you. I don't think he deserves to be strung up. No, I won't go there. He does not deserve to be overly punished for the actions online when he was 17 years old. But the league has a line to toe, and the sensitivity training he's got to participate in, I think, would be a good thing.
Yeah, I don't know how that's bad, because he's not being suspended.
Right.
He's being told to go to some sort of training.
Right.
And he's being told, and I don't know if he still, you know, talks like that. It's unlikely. Now, this was kind of the Josh Allen situation as well, by the way.
Yeah.
It feels almost identical.
Now, you know,
the question is, how does this resonate with teammates, I suppose? Now, this is a quirky situation, depending on their sport. In football, you absolutely will have quite a few African-American teammates, right?
Absolutely. 75%.
But in baseball, I don't know. Like, I don't know how many maybe you have on a major league roster, two or three black dudes. You'll have probably more people from, you know, the Dominican, Venezuela, you know, that sort of area.
Well, you know, Dominican and Venezuela are far, far apart, but the
Central America, from the island, whatever you want to call that, okay, that region.
I would say the guys in the Caribbean are much more likely to consider themselves at least partially black as well as Latin than a guy from Venezuela. So the potential blowback that you think he's avoided because his teammates are Latin.
I'm just saying, I guess I'm asking, is it different in a major league clubhouse than, say, an NFL clubhouse? Or does nobody care? By the way, nobody uses the N-word in terms of players more than black guys on a football team.
True.
It is shocking how often that is dropped at practice, training camp, wherever.
Right. And so it's context obviously clearly matters. And I know this starts to sound absurd when you start taking this word, which is supposed to be this, you know, word no one can say, and now you start applying context to it and culture to it. And when was it said and how was it said? Were you quoting a song lyric? Were you, you know, repeating a joke from a comedian? Or were you directing that word at somebody? So all that does matter within a locker room. So to have a white teammate singing along to a song that's being played loudly in the weight room? No, he's allowed to do that.
Is he?
Yeah.
He doesn't have to drop out at that moment?
He does not have to drop out.
He can sing along at full throat?
Yeah. I mean,
really?
And Eminem can do what Eminem does because culturally he's part of that world. And for...
Does Eminem use the N-word?
Oh, yeah, he has.
He has?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
For Josh, as a 17-year-old, with his group of Twitter friends to quote some hip-hop lyrics and call themselves or himself the N-word, that's not that unusual back, in 2011 and not here in 2018.
Yeah.
And it was not in the area where I grew up in Southern California with the white guys on my football team. That would not be unusual. Now, if they saw somebody walking down the street and start yelling the N-word at them, that would be out of context.
Right.
We're on a football field. We're all talking this slang talk.
Mm-hmm.
That's within context.
Right.
It gets weird and tricky, I know, for white folks to know what they can and can't say. They feel very persecuted today. I understand all that feeling that's out there.
Right.
This just is how it is.
It's tricky.
It's tricky.
Yeah. Yep. But, you know, Eminem does not use the N-word. I didn't think so. I've never heard him say it, but it's not like I'm some sort of hip-hop genius, that's for sure. Kanye West sure does.
Yep.
Drake sure does.
Yep.
Jay-Z?
Josh Ader?
Josh Allen? D-Mac? No.
Yeah, Riley Cooper.
Just, it's the word we live in.
It's a weird, strange world we live in where...
Because I feel weird about it, because who's to deny legitimate culture? Like, this is definitely like, oh, you know, kids and their music these days, that sort of thing.
Right.
I mean, it's foolish. You've got to be willing to accept reasonable amounts of culture change and shifts, even if it makes you feel uncomfortable. I mean, you'd just be an old fogey if you were to totally reject it. It looks terrible on paper. And, you know, and I just won't have it at my own house. I don't care. It's my house. I'm not comfortable with it. I don't need to have it around. So the end.
But do you watch gangster movies with your kids? You try to ban.
Right. That's a good point.
You know,
I mean, you know, right.
Have you watched a horror movie with your
right.
kids? So these are just forms.
What am I talking about, right?
These are forms of entertainment.
Right.
But unfortunately, societally, one is viewed with an incredibly negative eye, and others are awarded and given Oscars.
The thing, my argument with it, and it'll be my final thought, my argument with it is just there's got to be a more intelligent way to express yourself.
Do you criticize Martin Scorsese for his dialogue in a gangster movie?
Good point. And I've watched plenty of Quentin Tarantino films.
Yes, and Quentin Tarantino loves the N-word.
Yep.
Loves the N-word. It's going to be, if it's a Quentin Tarantino movie, it's at least 100 plus times.
Yep. All right. There you go.
There you go.
The world we live in. Football 4 is next.